Turn with me this morning to the book of John, the first chapter for a beginning. I've done a lot of riding this week and thinking it may be good that sometimes it's quiet periods where you can think. There's so much noise in the world today that sometimes we get involved in things and forget lest we think about them. One of the things I got thinking about this week was how few in number we are. And looking back in our life, especially mine's and Paul's and Dorothy's, our families, I don't believe there's any of our children, for sure, that didn't make what man calls today a profession of faith. And there are not any of them here. And it's kind of a sad commentary that we're so empty of people. And I know I've said before that the gospel can't be messed up, especially if you just read it out of the Word of God. It can't be messed up. And then you wonder the same things that the apostle mentioned, Apostle Paul, that did they not hear? It did. Now, we weren't always exactly correct, if we are today.
Yeah, yeah.
But when I think back on it, we had pretty big congregations, and none of them are here either. They're all gone. And it makes you judge your own wisdom in these things. We know surely that all things are of God. There's no doubt about that. In the ninth verse of the first chapter, it said that was the true light. And it's always shining. Even in all the creation, we're told that the Word is there. Always there. It said, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And there is a certain amount of light in everyone that comes into the world. It's always there, and man cannot deny it, although he tries. He said he was in the world, and the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. And then he's going to get a little more specific. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But I know that probably this verse is directed to the Israelite people. They were God's chosen people. But in the light of the verse prior to it, he is the creator of all things, and all men are his own. Truly, he is the sovereign God over everything. I thought, I don't know why it's come to. I was coming down this morning. I was thinking about our church name, the Sovereign Grace Church. And I said, no, that's not exactly right. That's the name of our Lord, is the Sovereign Grace. But then in verse 12, he said, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe upon his name, Now, man has taken that verse out of context and placed the power in man. Well, all you have to do is believe. And what I was talking about earlier is I think we probably are all guilty of that idea at one time or another. Even in our teaching, though, we were guilty of that idea. All you have to do is believe. And then James addresses that, well, even the devils believe and tremble. So, it is brought directly upon us or upon me, having been guilty of those things. Now, first thing, it's as many as have received him. And then we look and we see that the power is of God and not of man. And that's always the case. And then he goes on, he said, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. That's one of the worst things I know of in our day, is preaching the will of the flesh. And that's what I was referring to, that we also are guilty of that. Flesh, only will that the flesh has is to run away from God. The will of the flesh is directly opposed to God. The will of the flesh will always choose that which is not right. And it said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, we who, those that received the power. And we beheld his glory. And then you ask this question, how in the world could man see that glory outside of the power of God? It's the most miraculous thing that man would receive that power. As of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And we can't find it anywhere else. We live in a land that is full of this gospel of self-will. Especially in my area, it seems like. There's a couple of people I can think of right around Crockett, Texas, that have some book knowledge. Paul went up and met with some of these folks several years back down in a little church at Weldon, we call it. And they have some book knowledge, but they cannot come to grips with the truth that grace is only of God. They're still trying to come up with some kind of scheme that will save man. And even that is evidence against them that they don't have the knowledge of God. They've got a little Jesus that'll do most things they want done. Paul mentioned the other day about the heathen praying. I like heathen better than sinner. That's more total depravity, I think, in heathen than it is in just sinner. But they go about trying to come up with some kind of scheme that will get people into what they call the church. And sometimes even this book knowledge that they have is more dangerous than just going to the Bible. The Bible is full of condemnation. And if it won't bring a man under condemnation, then it won't save him, because there's no power in it. There must be that power in it. Now, man is born. We see that back in Adam and Eve. And we're all descendants of that. And that's the way we begin. We see that back there when man fell from grace. They went and hid himself, or tried to hide, because his nakedness was open to him. And I believe that's the case even now, that man's nakedness is open to him, so he tries to do something that will cover that nakedness up. I find, too, that in our area, if Daddy was a Baptist, I'm a Baptist. If he was a Methodist, I'm a Methodist. And their hope is in that. And that is their will, that they'd place their hope in that. And I find it also so that when this devilish doctrine is preached, then it makes them twofold more the child of the devil than it does otherwise. You talk to these people, and they all believe in God. Now, there's a few, though, that would deny that there even is a God. But both of them are worship of something that is not God. And they preach that. This is one thing that I find hard to swallow, that a man would be so ignorant, even though his conscience is always at him, that he would be so ignorant as to say that there is no God. And then, on top of it, try to preach that. It's one thing if he believes it and he's quiet about it, but if he goes to preach it. And then I thought about all the preachers that have this self-will doctrine. Oh, what a great woe is up on them. And I wonder if they're just absolutely void altogether of any idea of judgment at all. It's a troubling thing. But man is born unto this, and he doesn't have any will at all except to run and hide, as Adam and Eve did. In Psalms 58 chapter, I hope these things are not new to any of us, but it sure doesn't hurt us to look back at the scripture, isn't it? 58th chapter of the Psalms, and verse 1 said, "Do ye indeed speak righteousness, O congregation? Do ye judge uprightly?" Bruce and I, we mentioned that a minute ago. Lord set judges in the earth, but they were to judge righteously. But they didn't do it, did they? They were looking after their own selves. Said, "Yea, in heart ye work wickedness." Now, out of the heart of man, that's the only thing that will proceed out of it in its natural state, is to work wickedness. Now, man would deny that. They say, "Oh, we're upright. We're good folks. We go to church. We do all these things." But nothing in there but wickedness. You weigh the balance of your hands in the earth. The wicked are estranged from the womb. Man born that way. They go astray. As soon as they be born, speaking lies. That's what I was talking about. The biggest lie I know of in our day is that man can decide his own destiny. Some of that come from our old poets. Yeah. You can turn that around. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They're like the death adder that stoppeth their ear, which will not hearken to the voice of charms, charming ever so wise. That's what they're doing today, isn't it? Trying to charm them into the kingdom of heaven with the old reprobate heart. Oh, there's so much stuff out there today that sounds so good outside of the gospel. But the gospel is judge of all things, especially of man himself. I don't care how wise you get. That's what I was talking about these folks around me there. Some of them pretty smart. And they built some pretty big old organizations there. My country is they're very diligent to be righteous. But their righteousness is based upon the wrong thing. It's based upon themselves, which is the way the whole world has gone. But I find it also extremely difficult to understand how, with all their knowledge and all their devices and all the things they're reading of Scripture, that they can't understand any of these things. But the whole truth about the whole thing is it is in their heart. What proceedeth out of their heart is what they are. And they keep on with this devilish doctrine. And it has taken them over for sure. In Jeremiah, book of Jeremiah 44 and verse 3 said, because of their wickedness which they have committed to provoke me to anger, in that they went to burn incense and serve other gods whom they knew not, neither they, ye, nor their fathers, none of them. Now that's one thing I found here, that the God that these people are trying to serve is one that they don't know. This little Jesus that they have is not the one in this Bible. Our whole nation is caught up in this. You see these signs everywhere says pray for our nation. But what's their prayer? And I also find it strange that they would think that they can enter in to the most holy place and offer up a prayer to start with. The question always comes up, does God hear the sinner's prayer? No. He does. Most time gives them what they want, and that's what he's giving this nation today, is their prayer. We want more peace and prosperity, and we'll rule it into order. They continue to take it upon themselves, just like salvation, to promote it by evil things. But they hearken not. nor incline the ear to turn from their wickedness to burn incense unto other gods. Now I find that's what's going on in our land today. I told you that the people around me are most self-righteous. And what they're doing is burning incense unto God, and hoping that it'll be a sweet smelling savor to them. And yet it's a smoke in his nostrils. He said, wherefore my fury and mine anger was poured forth. Well, it looked like these people could have seen that. But it looked like we too today could see that. That's one of the things that made me reflect back on these things, that we're so void of any people. Wherefore my fury and mine anger was poured forth and was kindled in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, and they are wasted and desolate as at this day. Things have not changed. Man is in the same state always. He won't wake up unless the Lord gives him power to overcome this idea that he is in control. Therefore now thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, that hadn't changed either. Wherefore commit ye this great evil against your souls, cut off from you man and woman, child and suckling. They wouldn't want to hear about this God in those churches this morning. Mm-mm. He's too harsh, he's mean. They can wear all our liberty. If they hear the word of the Lord, it will take their liberty away and give them liberty, the power of liberty to worship the Lord. He said to leave you none to remain. In that you provoke me unto wrath with the words of your hands, burning incense unto other gods in the land of Egypt, whether ye be gone to dwell, that ye might cut yourselves off. And that's what has happened. And that ye might be a curse and a reproach among all the nations of the earth. And this is a terrible reproach unto the Lord and his people, this thing that they're trying to teach, the thing that they're trying so desperately to hold on to, either by profession or an outright declaration that there is no God. One or the other. No ever in between. In 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, in verse 5, he said, then who is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I don't know why people can't get hold of that. So then neither is he that planteth anything. But what did John say? Lord must increase and I must decrease. But you know what? They're trying to sit in the higher places. There's no decrease of man in their heart. It's only vain and vile and corrupt, and it can see no other thing but to worship the creature more than the creator. So then neither is he that planteth anything he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now here's the thing. Man can labor and labor and labor under these things, but it won't bring any peace outside of the power of God. There's nothing there. It's absolutely void. In Romans, the 9th chapter, in verse 15, he said, "For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy, on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion, so that it's not of him that willeth or him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh," here's an example, "even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Have they not heard? Yeah, they did. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will. Have mercy on whom he will. He hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why hast thou, or why dost thou yet find fault? Or he find fault for who hath resisted his will?" That kind of puts away the will of man, doesn't it? Made everything in this world to glorify him. Whatever it be, whether it was making Pharaoh or whether it was giving power unto his people to declare his name. In Isaiah, the 59th chapter, in verse 20, and it said, "And the Redeemer shall come to Zion." Where else? Nowhere. "And unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord, my spirit that is upon thee." What? The spirit. Born of the spirit. A new creation. New creature. New heart. "And my words which I have put in thy mouth." Well, the word's always near, isn't it? Even in your mouth. "Nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever." This is the way it's going to be. No doubt about it. And there's no way around it. It's a straight and narrow way. And man's condemnation is that, yes, he has heard. The word went throughout all the world. Then in the book of Ezekiel, the 36th chapter, in verse 21, I believe, but I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sake. It's all for the Lord. So don't get puffed up. It's strictly of the Lord. O house of Israel, but for mine holy name, sake which ye have profaned among the heathen, where ye went, and I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. It's profaned, this goes on and on, doesn't it? And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord. Isn't that strange, too? They know. They're going to know. They did know. They do know. They're going to know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. This is just some more condemnation that'll be poured out on wretched man. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of the countries and will bring you into your own land. We have a land. It's our land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. Who's going to enter into the most holy place? To even offer up a prayer. Can't enter in. Not in this present state. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. You know the biggest idol of today? Is self. Self, that's it. Then he said a new heart. Can't be that old. It can't be the will of man. It can't be what comes out of the vain heart of man. It must be a new one. And it's an instant thing. Although it's the learning of it is ongoing. We won't ever learn it all. We won't ever know it all. But it is continual. I kind of don't like the word saved. Because it is saving. A new heart also will I give you and a new spirit. What is that spirit? Spirit of God himself. We have the mind of Christ. How? From that Spirit of God that dwells within us. I'm going to put it within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments to do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. And ye shall be my people. And I will be their God. What about it, Bruce? How many times? I will also save you from all your uncleanness. And I will call for the corn and then will increase it and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and increase of the field that ye shall receive no more reproach. No more reproach of famine among the heathen. You're going to dwell safely in the midst of it. And in the light of all that, the conclusion of the whole matter is, trust God and look unto Him for salvation because it can be found in none other than Him.
I certainly wouldn't swear to it, but memory serves me right. The 17 times that God says, I will, from the 21st to the 38th verse of this 36th chapter, it's all God. I will, I will. And I can't get away from those last, that verse 37 especially. I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. One. Yeah. Right. Right. That's the contrast between the righteousness of God and the righteousness of man. That is a great, great thing. But it is true, the doctrine of free will, I believe, is the most abominable doctrine to God of our day. And always, that's the height of pride and arrogancy is for man to say, I will. So, we, those verses 12 and 13 there in John chapter 1, was in General Santos City. We were having a Bible conference there, and after having a question and answer session, and one of the men in the group started questioning some of these things, and he says, "Well, John 12 and 13, first chapter, John." Verses 12 and 13, which one comes first? I told him, I said, well, if you're going by number, verse 12 comes first. But if you're going by the truth of the word, then 13 comes first. And he kind of looked at me and he started grinning. And he was going to kind of trap me on that, but you can't do it. The Word of God is very plain, very pure, and it always says what it means and means what it says. That's it. So.